Resolution 26-040, moved by Counselor Haskins, second by Counselor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:30
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-041, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on February the 3rd, 2026. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. We honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into open session, so we'll have a roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Mike Heckman.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none, call the question. Oh, it is not yet. Resolution. Okay, Councillor Haskin.
It's okay. I just happened to see how some of our names were there.
Oh.
It's funny.
Resolution 26-042, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the January 27th, 2026 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? All the question, all in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.1, resolution 26-043, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board meeting minutes for December 22nd, 2025, for information purposes. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.2, resolution 26-044, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the District of Prairie Sound Social Services Administration Board meeting minutes for October the 9th, 2025, November the 13th, 2025, and December the 11th, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.1, resolution 26-045, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PLN-2026-01, annual planning activity review for year 2025 and year 2026 outlook from Clerk Administrator Carly Britton for information purposes. Any discussion?
Which one was that?
Yes.
So I'm looking at the report and I'm trying to determine the reason why two statutory meetings and quote open house the two statutory meetings need to be held. Like, what is the reasoning behind that?
I asked John Jackson if the two statutory meetings needed to be held again in 2026, and he did say yes. My best guess is because of the OP OPA that was submitted was under the 2020 provincial policy statement because that's what was in effect when the draft was created. Shortly after, in October 2024, the PPS 2025 was released. So now the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing is wanting our OPA to reflect the 2025 PPS, and that's creating enough of a change that the statutory meetings would need to be held once again.
Can you confirm that's actually the reason?
I
because
will.
if it was as simple as rescinding the resolution that we had council had passed in starting the process over, it's going to alleviate quite a bit of time consumption of going through this this exercise again as well. Now we'll have to revise our agreement with John Jackson because he's already fulfilled what he did in the contract that we had with him at that time. So I think we need to confirm in writing the reason why these two statutory meetings, because as well now it's changing the agreement that we had with John Jackson, the bylaw that we passed, it stated exactly the schedule of what he was going to be providing for the municipality. That's going to be need to be revised and an updated cost estimate because, like I said, now the terms and conditions have changed. And as well, if we're required to have those meetings and it's not as simple as just rescinding the resolution that was passed by council, we'll need to have to budget for this amount of money that is. We were very fortunate to have John in this last iteration. When you recall, the estimates from the RFPs that we had ranged from $100,000 basically to $200,000. And the agreement that we had with John Jackson was substantially less. But I don't think that he has stated in here that he's going to be doing any work for the municipality at no cost. So when we're actually changing the terms and conditions, we need to ensure, if it's required, that we go through these additional, because as well, I looked through the comments from the MMMH, and there was no mention of, in the first comments that had a date of January 2025, which I think is the June 2025 comments that John commented on. There's no mention there that, and it does mention the 2024 provincial policy statement. It's mentioned throughout the comments by the various ministries that are commenting agencies, and nowhere in there does it say because it's not up to date with the 2024 provincial planning statement that you need to start over again. So I just want to confirm the reason why we have to start over again. And if it's as simple as rescinding a resolution and not having to start the process with additional time, because this is taking quite a bit of time. If we can move forward right from where we left off, because even John Jackson comments basically state that, you know, there isn't a lot of major changes. So to go through a process, the same steps over and over and over and over again, it just doesn't make any sense. So we can confirm the reason why, and then, you know, if it's from there, we can decide, you know, do we need to revise and consult with the planner that regarding the terms and conditions of the agreement to ensure that we know what this next iteration is going to cost so we can budget for it.
No, I was going to comment when we get into the budget meeting, I have to look through it for Friday. Probably not enough put aside for the OPA and the zoning for the planning reasons that you said. I mean, there's a little bit in there, but not nearly enough because he'll be billing us again. You're right, he's fulfilled what he was supposed to do, and now he's going to comment again. And all we can do, I guess, is send the bill to the municipal affairs, see if they'll pay it. But yeah, you're right, it's we shouldn't have to, and especially if 2024 PPS isn't that different from the 2020. But I guess our planner will let us know how different it might be. Usually he says there aren't that many great changes. So, my concern is all of these people who submitted comments, and now that they have to, I mean, we've got those in place, but
rescind what we've done so far, if it's, and we can just continue on, well, that would be fantastic. But just to find the reasoning why. Because even when you look at John Jackson's comments regarding the ministry's comments of June 2025, he basically says, you know, the comments aren't that much, or the changes that have been made are not much different than what was already done the previous iteration around 2019. So, you know, if you keep going around in circles on things that have not actually changed a lot, it just starts not to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt to check it in there. Councilor Zula.
Well, we submitted that in June, on June 26, 2024, and that's when the old provincial policy statement was in effect, and the new one did not come into effect until October the 20th, 24.
Right.
And they never responded to us. So as far as I'm concerned, we're going by the old one. We're not going by the new one. And they're at fault. We're not at fault.
Oh, yes.
Because that's way past the 90 days from when we submitted it. So I don't know. I'd like to have a meeting with John. I guess we will have a meeting with John. Because I don't see why we need to have two more public meetings. We've already had the public meeting. We submitted our stuff to Municipal Affairs. They didn't respond in the 90 days they were supposed to. So it's their problem, not ours.
I agree. I guess we'll have to listen to John gets back to us,
yeah,
what his comments are. We'll go from there. Anything else on the planning report that Carly put together?
Good report.
That detail was good. No further discussion. I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 17.2, resolution 26-046. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report FD-2026-01, month end status update for December 2025, year end review from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Any discussion? Councilor Zulak,
no, no,
your
no,
hand
I'm
is going
distra-
up.
Sorry.
I'm just conditioned here. So. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 19.1, resolution 26-047, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Whereas the Township of Carling and the Municipality of McDougall withdrew from the Dury Sound Area Planning Board effective January 1st, 2026. Now, therefore, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby approves an increase to the Dury Sound Area Planning Board levy to the Township of McKellar for the 2026 fiscal year in an amount ranging from $8,000 to $13,000. With the final levy to be determined by the board following its budget review. And further, the council hereby approves the Township of McKellar staff assuming the treasury functions of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board, which will result in a reduction to the township's levy. And further, the councilor blank be appointed as the alternate representative to the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board in the event that an appointed McKellar member is unavailable to attend. Discussion? Councilor Zulak.
Now you can ask me. What was our previous levy?
$5,000 per year.
Fine. Okay.
So this is an additional for the an amount ranging from additional or total?
Total.
Okay.
But that could be reduced because of the staff doing some of the work?
It is reduced by about $2,000, so Whitestone's levy would be between $10,000 and $15,000.
Okay.
I just want to throw out a nomination. They're looking at who's sitting on what committees. The Councillor Ryland be the alternate, if that's acceptable to everyone.
Good with me.
Say it again. No, seriously, I mean, I lost your. I usually read the text so that I make sure I can.
Just
hear
say
it all.
Yes. Just say yes.
I don't think you're selling me down the river, but if you wouldn't want to say it again.
No, it's just a an alternate for the planning board if Councillor Hasmer or myself can't make it. And it's a Zoom meeting, so you don't have to travel anywhere.
Sure.
And it's usually once a month, depending on the number of applications they get. But you'd certainly be notified if we were going to be away, so
yeah.
You'd be available. Yeah.
Okay.
And they email you the Zoom link, the agenda with the Zoom link attached.
Any further discussion? So we've inserted Councillor Ryland as the alternate. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-048, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskam. Whereas the Government of Canada has introduced new legislation, Bill C-15, that threatens interlibrary loans by repealing paragraphs 19-1D to G-1 of the Canada Post Corporation Act, which currently provides a reduced postage rate for library materials, including those shared through interlibrary loans. And whereas interlibrary loans are a critical component of library services in Canada, and rely on the reduced postage provisions of the Canada Post Corporation Act to ensure equitable access to materials for millions of library users. And whereas the proposed amendments would allow Canada Post to increase postage rates for library materials without parliamentary or government oversight, placing significant financial pressure on library systems and threatening the continued delivery of this essential service that supports access, equity, and literacy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby requests that the Government of Canada withdraw the proposed amendments to the Canada Post Corporation Act contained in Bill C-15 that would eliminate reduced postage rates for library materials, and further that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Minister of Government Transformation, Honourable Joelle Lightbound, Barrie Sound Muskoka MP Scott Aitchison, and the McKellar Township Public Library Board. Just the library, I guess that's fine. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
I just would like to, on behalf of the library, thank you for that resolution.
We'll see how the voting goes.
That's right. That was my hint. Thank you.
I got the message.
Any further discussion? Call the question. Recorded the vote? No? Okay. All those in favor? None opposed, sure.
Very proud of our library.
They're doing really well. They're really doing great.
To unfinished business, I think, from that list.
I'm just wondering, Carly, if there's a possibility of adding the banners in the community center to that.
I did email a contractor today just to get a quotation on how much it would be and if he had ideas to a solution.
Okay, sure.
I just haven't heard a response yet.
And the historical committee is going to take a look tomorrow just to see if there's any anyone has any ideas. I did think about it a little bit, and we'll see what the contractor suggests, but I was thinking a simple solution would be using, you can buy the Coroplast in 4x8 sheets, and it's very light, it's very durable, and if you can fasten the existing banners onto the Coroplast, it's very low labor intensity doing it this way, and with the double-sided tape, which we used for the photographs at the St. Stephen's window frame project. I think that it's a very quick, simple, and then you don't have a very heavy, you can fasten them exactly like they're fastened now because you're not adding actually any real extra weight because Coroplast basically weighs next to nothing. So, but we'll see what the contractor provides as a solution. And then as well, the thing I was thinking was that put on top of the existing banners, just so that they won't fade or deteriorate as quick if they don't have that, compared to if they didn't have that UV protection. The historical committee has that down in the Evelyn Watkins Moore Heritage Museum and all the windows, just for that reason. It does reduce the, you don't think there's a lot of UV light, but there is enough to damage, you know, whatever's inside of the interior.
So Morley, what was the concern? Was it not that so they don't get ripped and stuff?
Yeah, and they look terrible, at least in my eyes anyway. When you look at them, they're all curled
out
on the sides. It just, to me, it looks terrible, and it's asking for a pickleball to go in there and potentially rip them.
So I was wondering, you were suggesting like a glass frame, like, were
no,
you? I'm just thinking, how would the core glass would be on the back, right?
Yeah.
So nothing really would be protecting them on the front.
If you wanted to put that as an add-on, like the UV protective film, then you're actually protecting the...
Yeah, because that's surface. I thought that's what was the concern, was the front of them being ripped or pulled off and stuff.
Yeah, that only because the sides are curled out
curled
like this.
Out.
If they were flat,
so
I wouldn't
if
be concerned
they were flat
about
with that.
My idea, which is another idea, what we'll see what they say, would be to
frame
each one that would hold the sides in, but... Mike's idea is a good one too, so we'll see what the fellow that company says.
Okay, anything for our new business?
Yeah, I think there was.
There was a question about the township's grader, so it is needing repair. Our public works superintendent was trying to source a rental. They're hard to come by this time of year just because they're out being used, and the rental was $25,000 a month. So we've contacted our CAT sales or service team, and they're able to send a tech out tomorrow. It's a problem with the steering, and I guess it has to do something with the sensor and the cylinder. So typically they would come down, take the cylinder from the machine, take it back up to Sudbury and repair it. Last time they did this, it took about a week. So we're hoping it doesn't take that long, but it could. In the event that we're needing the grader right away, we're going to ask our neighbors to borrow a man and a machine to grade some of the roads that need done as soon as possible. So we're just working towards a solution.
It looks like they have scarified the roads recently, though, right?
They did, and now they can't use the grader anymore just because the steering's out of it.
Yeah, I think they got Center Road done, I believe, but I think that's around when it broke down was when they were getting down to just about to Herdville Road, which is the worst kind of thing, and it is severely bad. We have ruts, deep ruts in it, and I met it. Was going along there on Jones Hill the one day. I come around just when I was meeting a truck and I got into that rut. It threw my vehicle sideways.
Yeah.
And I managed to come back around before it hit. Like, it's real bad. Otherwise, I did phone Tom today to ask him, and that's the reason he told me, because the grader was broke down. But yes, I really think we can't afford to wait. Because next thing you know, in a week from now, the snow is going to start flying, kind of thing. So I would think if we can get a grader with an operator from a neighbor, maybe the rate won't be too bad. So, but that's my thought, but I guess we'll leave it up to Tom to make the ultimate decision.
And ASAP, because now there's a little bit of a break in the weather that, you know, the other municipalities might be on top
too
of.
Too busy, too.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Might actually have a little bit of window of opportunity right now. Before the next bout of snow.
And I'm sure Tom can drive the roads and determine which ones are okay, which ones aren't. But I just know Herdville and into Broadbent now is real bad too. Like even one of our employees going home was hugging right close to the snowbank to avoid the chattering kind of things, because it's so bad now. Like, I can't imagine what's doing to people's vehicles. You know, the aging, what's happening, their suspensions and their ball joints and all that. So I would say it's quite urgent.
Councilor Izulak?
Is there something wrong with the John Deere hoe at the dump? I just seen the new hoe there.
Not that I've been made aware of, no.
Because I wondered why the new backhoe was there. Unless the old one was a start.
Could have been with our cold temperatures.
So with this scarifying on the grader, you'd have to be careful doing that, of course. That's how you paved area, right?
Yes, yeah, so we're doing our new pave. Kind of luckily, the worst on Herdville Road is the unpaved section, so it's kind of good.
That'd be the worst, yeah.
Yeah, so they'd have to be careful on the new
pavement. Right, I'd be worried.
I don't know if they get down too far where the asphalt would withstand the scarring of the grader blade. You would almost have to. I almost kind of think so, because it's not like you're hitting down here. It would come down and float on it more so. Because I'm sure it happens all over the province, you know, them scarifying asphalt, and I haven't heard of there being an issue.
I didn't think they could.
I'd be
they
a little
could.
Worried about it anyway.
Yeah, it's a concern. Did Tom touch on that at all?
No.
I'm just thinking if you bring somebody else in, I mean, how good are they going to be? And it's not their township, so I don't know.
So is plan B McDougal Road puts the salt to the roads to get rid of the ice when it's you go to McDougal Road right at a certain section by the golf course from there into town. There's not a speck of snow or ice on the entire road.
Yeah.
So is that an option? But I know there's a shortage of salt, so
Yeah, we may have to, or whoever will have to look at that once Herdville is asphalted all the way from McDougal Road to Four Corners. Whether there's a possibility of a different, like salt, actually salting that section without it being a major expense and all that, but that's something that'll have to be looked at, because then it would blend in so well off McDougal Road if they're all maintaining the same kind of thing. And we were looking better than McDougal Road for a while, or for some reason, just because of the snow buildup. And it's totally understandable why that has happened. But it's just now, I was kind of thinking the scarifying would have started a week ago, and I was kind of holding off, thinking, oh, it's, any day I'm going to see them out there doing it, and today I just had enough.
They couldn't even get the banks pushed back they just were able to push the banks back. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
the roads were getting closed in because it just kept snowing, and they hadn't been able to do that, you know, how they push it back, and they just got that done, but we don't use sand and salt. It's granular that they're putting down, eh?
There is salt in it, though.
Yeah, it's mixture.
Yeah, but it's
like
not
it's
sand,
salt,
right? It's like the small granular stone in
it. Yeah, it's got the stone in it,
yeah.
Too, so it sticks to the road.
Yeah.
I think, but I see they're having a heck of a problem with the clumps forming down there. They're making a large pile of stuff they can't even use.
And
that might
together.
Be stuff Tom's going to bring forward to see if we can rectify that problem in the future. But we haven't got the money.
Just
the
weather. Just our weather this year.
Yeah, it's a winter.
So do we need any resolution for that, or just staff's going to be out there? Okay.
So if the extra expense, if Tom decides that's the way he's going to go, he can go ahead and do that without a resolution from council?
No, $25,000 is a lot to spend, so we'll rely on our neighbors and get them in as soon as they can to do those roads that are a priority, and then hopefully within the week, or maybe could be even less, that our grader's fixed, and then we'll get back at it.
Right, and was that the minimum they would rent a grader out was 1 month?
Okay, any public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members? I know it hasn't been long since our last meeting, so. Okay, hearing none. On to 25, the consent agenda. We have resolution 26-049, moved by Councilor Hackett, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of McKellar, does hereby receive the consent agenda as presented. Any discussion? Anything you want to pull from that to speak about? Okay, call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried.
26th. Any questions, comments from the in-person or on Zoom related to items on the agenda? Yes. Mr. Rue?
Thank you, Mayor Moore. I may just get a little bit more information on the Perrystown Planning Board changes and the impacts on the township in McKellar. This is an area I'd like to learn more about. I'm just trying to understand what the Perrystown Planning Board does for the township in McKellar, such that other townships, and I know you can't speak for them, have chosen to withdraw, and how are they doing those services that the planning board did for them previously?
They have planners, I think. We don't, but...
Currently, the Perrystown Area Planning Board does consent applications for the township, so if you're doing a lot severance, lot addition, or right-of-way, they are the approval authority, and then it comes back to council for any municipal conditions, so the application is with the planning board and not the township. Other townships are larger, and they have planners on staff or specific planning assistants that do a lot of the work. Even so, some of them do contract out third-party planners, so it's just an extra expense on their end. For the amount of consent applications McKellar gets, it's kind of cost, it's advantageous to have the planning board do our consent applications, because if we were to have to hire another in-person or another staff member, our cost would be much higher. So we found it productive to be with the planning board. Now that two members have left, obviously about 50% of the revenue has also gone from the planning board, so Whitestone and McKellar are having to step up that way. But even so, with the increase in the levies, it's still a cost advantage for us to remain with the planning board and not to retain our own services.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I guess, based off the two levies, the revenue to the planning board is around $25,000. I'm just curious how that supports the organization and the planning staff that they use to do this work.
So their budget is mostly comprised of like the secretary treasurer. He also does the planning report, so it's for that. They have rent to pay and expenses that come with a brick and mortar office. They have membership fees, like for the West Perrystown Geography Network. So they're having to severely adjust their budget this year to compensate for the 50% less revenue, and township staff are assisting them in doing so, trying to cut costs for the board.
And would the planner, Patrick, be a full-time employee of the Perrystown Planning Board?
No, he's a part-time employee. He also has two other positions. So the planning board does not pay for him as a 40-hour-a-week person. I believe it was 2 to 3 hours per day, and the Perrystown Area Planning Board is open 5 days a week in town, so ratepayers from Whitestone and McKellar can visit him at any time during the office hours, and he just allocates certain hours to the planning board.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else online? No further questions? I have resolution 26-050, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-07, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this third day of February 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? No opposed? Carried. Item 28, we have resolution 26-051, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
7:05 PM,
to meet again on February the 5th, 2026, for a special meeting of Council and the market manager position interviews, or at the call of the mayor.